Coroner, Cook County, Illinois. Commissioner Valentine.
Coroner Brody, on July the 3rd, 1943, the city of Chicago was horrified at a brutal and terrifying murder.
That's right, Commissioner Valentine. For on that day, three gunmen walked into the currency exchange on North Pulaski Road, where Agnes Olson, the teller, was on duty.
You heard what I said, Gilly. Don't make a sound and don't move. We want every cent in this place.
No.
We mean business. We'll kill you.
No.
Won't be a pretty way to die, sister. See this metal container I got in my hands? With the nozzle pointing right at you? Know what's inside this container? Poison gas.
Poison gas? I don't believe
you. You better believe me. Shell out that dough.
No.
I said it ain't a pretty way to die, but that's how you die.
Help!
Citywide alarm from police headquarters. Now listen carefully. Bandits have just murdered woman bank clerk by means of poison gas. Bandits using poison gas have just murdered bank clerk. All police ordered on 24-hour duty.
And exactly 1 month and 1 day after this horrible crime, Commissioner Valentine, the fast-moving Chicago police had captured the purported leader of this gang, Alvin Krauss, but the rest of the gang was still at large. The terrible danger still remained. Did they, too, know the secret of the poison gas? Fear gripped the city.
Officer! Officer!
Yes, what is it?
I was waiting for the streetcar. Three men came along. I couldn't see their faces. It was dark. But I heard them talk about gas, the poison gas bandit.
Where?
This way.
Come on.
Oh, please, listen. I just heard some shots in the street. It may be an auto backfiring, but it may be the poison gas bandits. The ones who murdered that girl. The poison gas bandits.
Captain Rogers speaking.
This is Officer Sidney, Captain. I just checked that emergency call.
Yes?
It wasn't the poison gas bandit. It was a man carrying one of those cylinder-type vacuum cleaners.
Oh.
You know, Captain, the people in this town are so jumpy, they think everyone they see is the poison gas bandit.
Just a minute, Sidney. You're new on the force, a rookie. Let me tell you something. When you're sent on an assignment, don't treat it lightly. Other officers have made that mistake, and they've walked into gangster bullets. Now get back in your post.
Yes, Captain Rogers, yes.
Another wolf's tip, Captain?
Yes, Sergeant. And that's the danger. If we relax for even just 1 second, the next tip may not be Falksland. That gang has murdered once. They'll murder again.
It's like sitting on a volcano, all right. If we only knew if those fellas could make the poison gas or if Krauss alone had the secret.
Krauss still hasn't talked?
Not a word.
And we don't even know who the other three in the gang are. The whole city's counting on us for protection. We don't know where that gang may strike next or when. We've got to crack this thing, Murphy, and crack it fast.
Hey, it's dark down here, Damiani. Where are we going anyway?
Just keep following me, Scott.
I thought that other floor was the basement. It's like going down in the middle of the earth.
If Krauss was caught, I knew I had to find another place quick.
You think Krauss caught?
Even if he has, it won't stop us. He'll never find this place. Here we are.
I can't see a thing. What's that? That noise?
Take it easy, Scott. Just the other side of this iron door.
Quiet, Rick. Quiet, boy. Get down.
I brought him over from the house the other day.
But why?
You'll see.
Hey, this is quite a setup. What's those bottles and stuff on the table there?
Poison gas.
Poison gas? Holy mackerel.
This stuff Krauss left. Now look, Scapo. I've taken over, and I'm making you my right-hand guy.
Oh, thanks, Damiani.
Louis don't know about this place, and I don't want him to. He'll just follow orders.
Oh, sure. Just you and me. We're the big shots.
I'm the big shot.
That's what I meant.
Now, look. These containers are filled with poison gas. But I don't know how good it is. It might have spoiled. We've got to experiment to see if it works.
Oh, yeah, experiment. But how?
Very simple, Scarpo.
What are you looking at me like that for, Damiani? Now, wait a minute. You ain't got me down here for no experiment. I'm getting out. How do you open this door? You ain't experimenting on me.
Shut up, Scarpo. Quiet, Rex.
Yeah, but now look, Damiani.
You can't get out of this place unless I let you out. Now, come over here.
Okay, but honest, Damiani.
Shut up. What are you getting in an uproar about? I can use you and the gang, but I don't need the money.
Oh, the dog. You mean you're going to... Yeah, that's a swell idea. Try it out on the mud. Sure, you'll never know what happened to him.
I have it all figured out. Put him in this closet. Then shoot the gas in through this hole and plug the hole.
Hey, that's clever. You're okay, Damiani. Yeah.
We'll try it out. Hey, Rex. Come on, boy. Damn, that boy. Come on, into this closet. Come on, get in. Now I'll put the nozzle of the poison gas in through this hole.
That's a swell idea.
And turn on the poison gas.
Attention all patrols, special squads, undercover men. Repeating previous alarms on poison gas gang. Maintain constant vigilance, poison gas gang. Time is now 1:46 and a quarter p.m. That is all.
Well, it sure works swell, Damiani. That mutt died like a hero.
The main thing is that the gas works and we have enough on hand to take every bank in this country.
Sounds good to me, Damiani.
Okay, Louis. Stop right here in this corner. This is the bank we're taking right here.
The streets are nice and empty, Damiani. No people.
Yeah. Come on, boys.
Looks like there's only one dame inside the bank, Damiani.
Like that other babe we killed before they could cross. Follow me.
Hey, she's a good-looking dame in there, Damiani.
Yeah. She won't be so good-looking after we get through using this poison gas on her. Okay, pal, open the bank door.
Now, gangbusters listeners, because our purpose is to make these cases authentic, we are going to bring you the personal account of an eyewitness to the unexpected occurrence which followed next. But first, here is a message from Waterman.
The best, said Benjamin Franklin, the cheapest in the end. So when you buy a fountain pen, let quality be your guide. When you get beauty added to quality, then you are doubly right. Look at the newest of all American pens, Waterman's Taperite. Ever see such stunning design and such fine taste? Yes, Waterman's Taperites are so sleek, so slim, so trim. They're beautiful. Now write with a Waterman's pen. Notice how smoothly it glides over the paper. You see, you are writing with a point that is ground by hand, an ink feed that's fashioned and gauged down to microscopic precision according to the highest standards of Waterman's, America's oldest pen maker. Or if you prefer a pen of more conventional design, pick up one of the new Waterman standard point pens. Honest now, did you ever think a pen of this kind could be so strong, yet so sleek, so slim, so trim, so beautiful? So when buying a fountain pen, be careful. Be curious. Be skeptical, if you will. But don't buy a pen without seeing and trying the new Watermans. Once you do see them, we feel sure you'll agree that by every standard of beauty, of workmanship, and of writing ease, you'll prefer Watermans. So make sure to see the best. Look for the name Waterman. Now, back to Gangbusters and Commissioner Valentine.
I'll reenact the exclusive interview Gangbusters had with Miss Elaine Clappett, the young lady who was inside that currency exchange on Harrison Street on August 19th, 1943, when Damiani and his gang walked in with poison gas.
Now, Miss Clafford, that's how you pronounce your name, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Miss Clafford, on this particular August day, you were employed as a currency exchange cashier.
Yes, sir.
Now, tell us what happened on this day.
Well, it was exactly 2 o'clock.
I remember because I'd just looked at the clock. I was all alone in the bank and the front door opened. I looked up and my heart stopped beating.
Yes?
Walking toward me were three men. I don't know why, but the minute I saw them, I knew they were the poison gas bandits. I started to tremble.
Yes, go on, please.
The leader walked up to my cage and took a long metal container out of a paper bag and thrust the nozzle through the window. He told me to come out or he'd kill me with poison gas.
And what did you do?
I opened my mouth, but nothing came. He yelled at me again to come out, and from somewhere I heard my voice say, "No, I'm not coming out."
Yes?
Then he did something to the metal container, and the next second the poison gas hit me in the face. I couldn't breathe. I grabbed my throat and fell back from the window.
Yes, yes, Miss Clafford. Go on, please.
Well, somehow or other, my hand hit the doorknob to the cage. I grabbed it. My knees were beginning to collapse.
Uh-huh.
And then my other hand touched a button that locks the front door to the bank. I pushed this button.
And that meant that you had locked the bandits inside the bank.
Yes, sir, that's right.
Miss Clafford, that's the most courageous thing I ever heard of. Blinded and choking from poison gas, yet your one thought was to try and trap the bandits.
Well, from then on, everything happened fast. I opened the cage door, dragged it out, slammed it shut behind me.
And the bandits?
Well, the bandits dragged for the door, but it was too late. They couldn't get the money. I fell to the floor. Rest is pretty. Remember, when I came to, I was in the Mother Cabrini Hospital. It was 3 hours later, and a doctor told me I wasn't going to die.
Thank heavens for that, Miss Clafford. And thank you for this interview.
Coroner Brody, as police commissioner of the city of New York for many years, I've seen many brave deeds performed, but no one could have acted more bravely than Miss Clafford did in this emergency.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, Commissioner Valentine. Anyway, following the holdup, the police flashed immediate alarms throughout the entire city and to all nearby cities. 2 weeks passed after the attempted killing of Miss Clafford, and then another murder was committed that was to break the case wide open. It happened in Detroit. A police officer making his nightly rounds saw some men trying to break into a warehouse. At the same moment, the gunman turned and saw him.
Hey, a cop coming this way. A cop. Get him, boys. Get him. That did it. You're done. Let's get out of here. Come on. Make for that alley right there. Hold it. Someone ran out of that house. Hey, that's good shooting. Looks like a kid, but you got him before he knew what happened. Come on. More cops. Not the shooting. We're surrounded. All right, don't shoot. I give up.
You got it. Don't shoot. Okay, cops.
Sergeant Murphy?
Yes, officer?
Here's a teletype alarm from the Detroit police.
Yeah.
Some gunman who killed a 15-year-old boy and wounded an officer. Three men were captured. Others may have escaped.
Mm-hmm.
When they got in the headquarters, they found papers showing they came from Chicago. Detroit thinks they may be the poison gas gang.
Let's have that. Their names don't mean anything right now, but we can check these three street numbers. We'll get this to Captain Rogers right away and then start checking these three addresses. All right, Officer Sidney, search that clothes closet while I empty these bureau drawers.
Right, sir. But if you don't find any clue in this place, Sarge, it looks like those fellas they grabbed in Detroit aren't the poison gas gang after all.
Yep. The other two rooming houses didn't yield a thing. Well, there's nothing in this bureau. How about the closet?
Also nothing.
How about that shelf up there?
I was just getting a chair to look. Captain Rogers bawled me out once for not being thorough.
Yeah?
I learned my lesson. Hey, there's some stuff up here. No, it's only some old newspapers.
Well, hand them down. We'll check them anyway.
Here you are.
Okay.
Hey, something dropped out of that last one.
Yes. A snapshot.
Of whom?
A dog. A picture of a wire-haired terrier.
Yeah? That's no help.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're through here. We'll get back to headquarters. Captain Rogers has wired Detroit for pictures of the suspects they picked up. It may help to identify.
So this is all you found at those three rooming houses, eh, Sergeant Murphy?
That's all, Captain Rogers. Just that snapshot of a dog. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have any luck on those pictures they wired from Detroit. None of our witnesses recognized the gunman.
We're right back where we started, Captain. This thing is getting fantastic. Two murders, an attempted murder, a dozen bank jobs, one of the gang in jail, but the rest of them still at large and still unidentified.
Yes, Murphy, I've never come up against a case like it. It can be that these fellows are so clever they've covered all their tracks. I'm convinced they're just having a streak of luck that's phenomenal.
Well, what can we do next, Captain?
Keep pounding away at every angle.
There aren't any angles left.
Well, a snapshot.
I don't see anything there. We checked the landlady, but she said the fellow who had this room didn't own a dog. Neither did the other two.
I wonder who does own it.
Could be any one of 100 million people, Captain.
Now, I'd like to know how this snapshot got into a gunman's possession. The owner of the dog might be able to tell if we can find him.
Or her. It's a will of the wisp, Captain Rogers.
Yes, I know. But have enlargements made of the snapshot so each squad can have one. It doesn't look like a mongrel dog, so it might have been bought in some pet store. I'll check all such storekeepers and also veterinarians.
I get you.
But particularly children in the street. They usually know every dog in the neighborhood.
So that's a good lead. That may narrow it a lot.
It may not have anything to do with the poison gas gang, but we've got to check everything. Okay, Sergeant Murphy. It's your assignment.
Okay, sir. Easy now.
Yeah, Danny, Annie.
Enough poison gas in those containers to rob every bank in the city.
But I thought you weren't going to keep any of this stuff in your rooms. Only at the hideout.
We need it first thing in the morning, Scapo. We're pulling the biggest job we've ever pulled.
Yeah, but if someone should get in here by mistake and see those containers, Damiani... Too bad Rex ain't still alive. He was a good watchdog.
This is the only watchdog I need, Scapo. These guns. No one better try getting in here. Now, beat it. It's getting late. I want you back here first thing in the morning. We're pulling the biggest...
Captain Rogers speaking.
Officer Sidney, Captain. We finally got something on that terrier.
You have?
Two young boys over here on the west side say it looks like a dog called Rex some man in the neighborhood owns.
Where does he live?
Well, they don't know the exact house, Captain Rogers, but it's somewhere on Madison Street.
Good.
But they haven't seen the dog for some time, and they think the man moved away.
I see. All right, Sidney, you wait where you are. Sergeant Murphy and myself will be right out and check every house. This way, Sergeant. The landlady says the man who owned that dog lives on the top floor. Just one more flight.
Well, it's taken almost 3 hours checking house to house, but it's worth it.
Yes. He said his name is Edward Damiani, and headquarters has a file on Edward Damiani.
Think we may have missed him? He's supposed to go out at nights. It's almost midnight now.
We'll know in a minute.
Must be that door at the end of the hall.
Yeah, come on. Careful, Sergeant. This Damiani is dangerous. This may be a trap. You never can tell. Try the door.
Door's not locked.
Open it quietly.
Empty.
Now, there's a door leading to another room. Sergeant. Look, they're in the corner.
Metal containers, laboratory bottles.
It could be the poison gas equipment. We'll try this other room. And I'll be ready for anything when I shove the door open.
I'm ready. Looks like we're too late. The bed's been slept in.
There's the closet. We'll check that.
Look out, Captain, behind the door. Grab his gun.
Now, you thought I've got it. Let go of me.
Grab
his gun. All right, get that arm.
Let go of me. I tell you, let go.
There.
Now, this one.
Okay.
Nice work.
I'm
taking a break.
I know you don't, Damiani.
I'd advise you not to try that again. We're going to check that equipment in the other room, and if it turns out to be poison gas, I don't have to tell you what's going to happen.
How'd you tell me? I didn't make a single mistake.
Recognize this?
Fix.
Did you get that picture?
You'll hear about that, Damiani, when you stand trial for murder.
On January 10th, 1944, Commissioner Valentine, Edward Damiani and Alvin Krauss, who was still being held in jail, were ordered to stand trial.
And what was the outcome, Coroner Brody?
The electric chair for Krauss and life imprisonment for Damiani. As a result, Commissioner Valentine, the poison gas gang was at an end.
These two criminals deserved the judgment they got, Coroner Brody. Just one more example that crime does not pay. Now, in just a moment, we'll broadcast our gangbusters' nationwide clues. But first, a word from Waterman.
It's true that when you want the finest of anything, you generally have to pay a lot more. But that's not true with ink, not by a bottle full. Just put a dime, yes, I said a dime, on the counter and say, Waterman's Blue Black Ink, please. And what do you get? One, you get ink that's all ink. Nothing added, no dilution, no harmful solvents. Two, you get ink that writes up to three times as far as other nationally advertised inks. In fact, actual tests by a nationally known independent laboratory prove a single filling of your own fountain pen with Waterman's Blue Black Ink gives you up to 6,500 extra words. Three, this world-famous ink formula enables you to write with clear, sharp lines, making letters that almost defy the passing of time itself, as well as fading in water. That makes three, count them, three reasons to buy this world favorite of all inks, Waterman. Only 10 cents in the handy tip-fill bottle. Seven other colors, same price, same handy bottle. So next time you buy ink, to get the best, just look for the name Waterman. Now, Gangbusters Nationwide Clues, broadcast every week as a public service to assist American police in their war against the underworld. Commissioner Valentine.
To illustrate how Gangbusters listeners have cooperated with law enforcement agencies in helping to apprehend more than 300 wanted persons, over 70 of whom were charged with murder, here is a letter addressed to me from the Honorable Miles F. McDonald, District Attorney, Kings County, Brooklyn, New York, dated Monday, January the 28th, 1946.
Commissioner Lewis Valentine, my congratulations and thanks to Gangbusters for the broadcast on January 12th, 1946, of wanted clue and description of Russell Donahue, leading to his capture in Houston, Texas. The public owes a debt of gratitude for alertness, courage, and patriotism of the Houston refrigerator repairman, who listened to this clue and reported his suspicions to the Houston agents of the FBI, who, with the Houston Homicide Squad, quickly apprehended Donahue. This completes the apprehension of all four defendants in the armed robbery and tavern killing of prize fighter Al Bummy Davis. New York City Police and representatives of my office are now in Houston to return the prisoner to our jurisdiction. The case will proceed promptly to trial. Very truly yours, Miles F. McDonald, District Attorney, Kings County, Brooklyn, New York.
Thank you, District Attorney McDonald.
You, too, may be of similar assistance in capturing some person wanted by the police. Listen carefully to the following description.
Warning, citizens of East. At large, fugitive killer. Known to be armed and dangerous. Official description.
Troy Blankenship, 39, 5 feet 7 inches, 150 pounds, black hair, blue eyes, gunshot wounds, left elbow and forearm, slight limp in right leg, toes of foot turn in, slight limp in right leg. Be on alert for Troy Blankenship. Dangerous killer.
Watch for dangerous escaped federal prisoner.
Ray Ernest, 38, 6 feet, 140 pounds. Thinning brown hair, brown eyes, wears glasses. Tattoos include hammer and sickle, and heart and dagger, and initials CB, left forearm. Head of woman, right forearm. Repeating tattoos, hammer and sickle, Heart and dagger and initials CB, left forearm. Head of woman, right forearm.
Wanted by the FBI, George Barkley.
Age 50, approximately 5 feet 5 inches, 150 pounds. Bright hair, gray at temples, blue or brown eyes, blue spot on right temple, small scar tip of nose, blue spot on right temple, small scar tip of nose. Watch for George Barkley, wanted by the FBI.
Wanted, dangerous bank robber and murder suspect, Michael James Quinn.
37, 5 feet 9 inches, 149 pounds, red hair, blue eyes, occasionally wears glasses, tattoos, red and blue cupid below outer left elbow, initials MQJF, left forearm. Tattoo of a girl and bouquet on right forearm. Repeating tattoos. Red and blue cupid below outer left elbow. Initials MQJF, left forearm. Tattoo of girl and bouquet on right forearm.
These are the clues on the most urgently sought persons in the United States tonight, February 2nd, 1946. If you have any information concerning these clues, notify your local police, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, or Gangbusters at once. Now, here is Commissioner Valentine.
Next week, Gangbusters presents Inside Facts on the New Jersey Crime Combine, a mob of gang leaders and master criminals who fought their cunning and daring could outsmart the police, but who learned that even a stolen kiss can change the cleverest plans.
Listen next week, same time, same station, to this authentic case on Gangbusters. And anytime, anywhere, when you are buying a fountain pen or when you are buying ink, always look for the name Waterman. Gangbusters is a Phillips H. Lord production. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.